503, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. Hey, we're holding steady around 83 degrees, still kind of comfy outside. Just found a small, tiny little wasp nest in production. You know, I got a string of American flags on one of the windows here, and I had them up since Independence Day, and I've left them up because, you know, they're American flags. It's always nice to have an American flag. We have more than one here, but Heidi said, you better take a look. It's a wasp's nest. So it's one of the little, it's a small one. I said, well, I'll go out. I'll grab a broom, I think, and whack it. Well, what could go wrong? Besides breaking the window and angering the wasps. I don't know. Do I spray it? I think that's what I have to do, right? I get the spray you can spray from like 80 feet away or something. Or maybe a flamethrower. Yeah. I've made homemade flamethrowers in the years. Well, look, one of my earliest apartments, and it was, crap hole is such an ugly term. I mean, it's appropriate, but it's such an ugly term. And the refrigerator didn't work right. And I remember that I had some sort of food. I don't recall what it was. And it was a high-rise building, and it was winter. And I kind of put it on, I opened the window a little bit, and I kind of put it on the ledge, and I was, whatever it was, I thought I was keeping it, you know, fresh. And I woke up the next morning, and there were million ants that had somehow crawled up to the ninth floor of this building. And they were all over this food. I mean, the food was done. There's no way that I was going to eat that. But then I'm thinking, they're coming into the apartment. It's already a tiny little apartment. So I had a small container of butane that I used to refill cigarette lighters. And, well, here's, okay, what I did was I pressed down on that so there was a plume of butane coming out. And then I lit a lighter, and I had me a homemade flamethrower. And I killed every one of those ants. Now, I had to repaint the wall afterwards, but nonetheless, it was in a very primal sort of way, very, very rewarding. I want to pay tribute to a couple of people. No, I really do. Number one is Governor Glenn Youngkin. You know, the Governor Glenn Youngkin has taken the steps to secure the ballots here in our beloved Commonwealth. And we're not talking about, oh, my God, last time it was this or next time. Governor Youngkin said, hey, here's the deal. You vote on a paper ballot, period, end of story. Those machines are not voting machines. They are counting machines. That is all they do. They count the paper ballots. We're not going to allow for any sort of insecure, dangerous, irresponsible voting. So congratulations to Governor Youngkin for having the courage, the integrity to do that. And there's one other person I have to call out publicly for his hard work to get this done. There's a fine young man by the name of Finn Lee, and Finn has been working for the RNC to help make elections secure. It's part of his responsibility. And yes, Governor Youngkin is the one that has made this a practice that must be followed throughout the Commonwealth. And Finn Lee has actually been one of the guys behind the scenes pushing for this to happen to make sure that elections in Virginia are safe and sound and secure. So good for him. Good for him. I am very, very, very appreciative of him for that sort of work. There's going to be I don't know if it's going to be an official protest. Let me pull this up. I got a lovely note here that I have to share with you. Yeah, large rally tomorrow, 5 p.m. down in Chesterfield. And these are parents who are saying it is time for Chesterfield County Public Schools to adopt Governor Youngkin's parental rights policies. Apparently, the Chesterfield County Public Schools, am I correct? They are still following the Ralph Northam policies? I'm not going to go out on a limb here because I don't live in Chesterfield, But if that's the case, that's wrong. You people got to get your act together. If it's not the case, my sincere apologies and keep doing what you're doing. But the fact that there's going to be a gathering tomorrow at 5 o'clock seems pretty sizable to demand. And that's the word. It's not to request. It's to demand. You are the parents. You are the taxpayers for Chesterfield County. You have every right in the world to demand that Chesterfield County Public Schools follow the actual rules, to follow the parental rights policies enacted by Governor Youngkin. So we'll keep you up to date on that. I don't know if the school board is planning to vote on that tomorrow, but we will certainly pass along all of the details. Hey, Jerm, if you would, get ready, please. Jeremy is doing a great job, as per usual, of coordinating all of the sounds that you're hearing. And I do want to remind you about the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. That's always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 1140. There are a couple of other little things that I just felt like you and I needed to hear, needed to understand. There's a lot of focus on J.D. Vance. You know, it is a little weird because at the end of the day, when you're talking about president, vice president, you vote for the person who's running for president, right? Governor, lieutenant governor, you're voting for the person who's going to be governor. I don't mean to knock anybody who is the lieutenant governor or might be looking to become the lieutenant governor, but ultimately, people look to the top of the ticket. Now, in Virginia, let's not kid ourselves, we're very fortunate. Winsome Sears is one of the best human beings I've ever met. She is brilliant. She is tough. And I am thrilled that she is our lieutenant governor. I don't know. No, I mentioned lieutenant governor. All of a sudden, people are sending me notes on Facebook. Jeff, is your friend John going to run for lieutenant governor? I don't know. I hope he does. I hope he does. Actually, ran into John at a birthday party on Saturday night. Great birthday party, by the way. Some of the best cake I've ever had, but that's besides the point. But John and I were chatting about it. So I don't know. I mean, that's not my announcement to make one way or the other. I will say this, as I've said each and every time the issues come up. If my friend John Reed makes it official, he's running for lieutenant governor, A, he has my vote, and B, I will gladly make a monetary donation to his campaign. Because I think he would be one hell of a lieutenant governor. I really do. I think he'd do a great job. Now, let's get back to the attacks on J.D. Vance. I want you to give a listen to cut number one, please.
Well, also, look, J.D. Vance spends way too much time online and spends way too much time with people who are online. So a lot of what he says is going to be incomprehensible to you unless you participate in or have some acquaintance with this strange underworld that he comes from. So when the point to the, I'm going to say this, because this is, it's not nice, it's not true, but what he's trying to suggest is that Tim Walz is a sexual deviant of some kind.
What? What are you talking about?
That's what he's trying to,
That's ridiculous,
imply.
David.
Of course,
David.
No,
that's ridiculous. Like, okay,
look at Donald Trump, a sexual deviant.
No, first of all, Tim Walz started this whole weird line attack.
Look at Donald Trump, who spent three weeks on
Brat Summer, and you're going to sexual deviant? That is ridiculous.
If you want to understand this, this is just as a point of analytic understanding. Look at Donald Trump Jr.'s Twitter feed to understand what the underworld, the lava coming up from the ugliest parts of American life are, and what they're trying to suggest. The point to the J.D. Vance. When he says, I want to talk about policy, he's a candidate who's trying to say, when I said that the unemployed are a bunch of lazy louts swilling beer on the couch at 9 a.m., what I meant to say is this country needs to do a better job of creating work for people. You know, that everything is couched as a personal attack of the most vicious kind. And that's what he's doing with Tim Walz. That's why people think he's weird, because he's so brilliant. He's so capable. So why is he so filled with rage and contempt for others?
You're saying that J.D. Vance is brilliant. You're giving him
credit. Yes, he's brilliant.
Okay. Mm. Okay, so let me say, so J.D. Vance is brilliant, and then you just want to, what's the technical term here? Yeah, make stuff up. That's what it is. Make stuff up about him? I can't tell you much about J.D. Vance except what I've read in Hillbilly Elegy. I still haven't seen the movie or the TV adaptation on Netflix. I may or may not be able to work that into the schedule. But I think J.D. Vance has an absolutely fascinating story. And the idea that he's trying to paint Tim Walz as a sexual deviant, I don't know that anybody has said he's a sexual deviant. I'll tell you what we have said, it because I've said it. I find it absolutely reprehensible that he believes his state of Minnesota knows best for my children, better than I do. Because at that point, he can kiss me or took us. All right, if you need a translation, I'll type one up on X a little bit later. But you're not getting my kids. That's exactly what this is. You are not getting my kids. And you shouldn't be giving up your kids. They're your kids. Oh, you got Peggy Flanagan? Oh, speaking of lieutenant governors. All right, yeah. Go ahead, Jerm. Why don't you throw that in real fast?
Because let's be clear. This is life-affirming and life-saving health care. When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them.
Yeah, she's talking about genital mutilation, castration, you know, all that cool stuff. And we came up with new names. Well, it's gender affirming. Oh, okay. You know, I would like a life-affirming beverage. Really, Jeff? Why don't you just order a cocktail? Okay, whatever, but it sounds better if I say it's a life-affirming beverage, doesn't it? No. You don't get to play around with other people's kids. In fact, you don't get to play around with your kids in that way. We have to believe our children when they tell us something. Really? Okay. How far would you like to go? Because you're telling me that five-year-olds can tell me boy or girl. And that if they are a boy, they can tell me they're actually a girl. And if they're a girl, they're actually a boy. Okay. What about when my five-year-old boys told me, because they believed it, that they were trains? Equally as ludicrous, right? What do you mean you're a cat? Oh, you're a puppy today. That's wonderful. Oh, you're a circus clown. Fantastic. Now, actually, circus clown can be pretty cool, but that's another story. Isn't there an explanation, Jerm? Somewhere in this massive pile of audio, there's an explanation of what the difference is with boys and girls.
Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
Well, there you go. And you know what's weird is that the International Olympic Committee said they would identify male and female if only there were a reliable scientific test to do that. Okie doke, 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 523, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. The Olympics ended last night. And the only thing better than the Olympics ending last night would have been the Olympics ending, I don't know, the night before would have been great. That was, well, Heidi likes this stuff. And so I try and be an interested, concerned, supportive husband. So I'm watching some of this crap. I mean, stuff. And I'm thinking, really? All of these nitwits dressed in bedsheets carrying, you know, this is the dystopian future if the Olympics are not around. And here's Dustin Rhodes as Gold Dust coming up to save the Olympics and blah, 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 blah. And, oh, please. But the Olympics dude, I don't know what his official title is other than Olympics dude, but he said, you know, they would be happy to go along figuring out men and women and having them in the appropriate categories if only there were, well, some sort of a reliable test. Let's take a listen to that.
That we have said from the very beginning. If somebody is presenting us scientifically a solid system how to identify men and women, we're the first ones to do it. You know, we do not like this uncertainty. We do not like it for the overall situation for nobody. So we would be more than pleased, you know, to look into it.
Boys boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Thank you, son. Thank you for clearing that up for the chief Olympic dude who is confused. If only we had a system. Oh, you know, something scientific. Maybe, let me spitball here for a second, Olympic dude. What if the person, the athlete, like you did a, you could do like a swab, say, of the saliva. Because with the saliva, you can figure out these things. They're like marks. One of them looks sort of like an X, and one of them looks sort of like a Y. Now, I don't know what his home language is, but here in English, we would say X and Y. And somebody who has an X and a Y, guess what, Chief Olympic Dude? Technically speaking, scientifically speaking, that athlete is a guy. And the athlete who has two X's is a gal.
Come on, man.
Well, but that's the way this thing works. I'm telling you, it's really reliable. In fact, it's so reliable that everybody who relies on such things relies on exactly that. We don't have to get into, oh, you feel this way, you feel that way. You are who you are. I was absolutely appalled at the boxing. I really was. Because it was the World Boxing Council in the past that said, hey, we're happy to have transgender boxers, but we will not allow guys to box gals. It's just not fair. All right, take a deep breath. We've actually got some good news we're going to deal with once we hit that 5:33 mark. My dear friend, Chris Beach, the executive director of the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia, a last-minute push to help us out with the father figure, and maybe some fundraising news. It is 527, Jeff Katz, News Radio W. 534, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday afternoon, and you are hearing some of the details about what is happening in the Middle East. As a direct result of that, my mission trip to Israel, which was scheduled to leave, I was scheduled to leave on Saturday, is not happening. I got the call a little bit earlier today, and I'm not going to lie to you, I am so thoroughly depressed and bummed about it. I had been excited and inspired, and I had so much that I was sure I was going to be able to do over there and bring these messages back, bring these stories back. And the gentleman who was putting this all together, and we don't need to get into, you know, organizations or names or stuff like that, but he called me, or I called him, rather, because he sent a WhatsApp message. He said, well, here's what's going on. Intelligence and security folks over in Israel, and they're pretty highly placed. I mean, they good, solid people, said that all this talk about the air, right? We're hearing about air attacks that are going to be launched against Israel, Iran, utilizing Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, all of their proxy armies. It was a given that stuff was going to be shot at Israel. And a lot of us thought, well, all right, you got Iron Dome, you should be okay. But also, apparently, there's talk about Intifada-style actions. In other words, on the ground and targeting civilians and things of that sort. So it's very, very difficult. I spent hours the other day on the phone with the airline to rebook travel, and so it's not going to happen. I mean, what can I tell you? I know a lot of people had invested in it emotionally. Obviously, I had. But that's the reality of it. And so I guess we're all sitting back and waiting to see what's going to happen over there. We'll keep you updated. Tomorrow, I'm not going to be here. It's got nothing to do with that. Don't get worried. It's just one of those previously scheduled appointments that I got to do what I got to do. So that's going to be tomorrow. Now, having said all of that, because that's all kind of depressing, there might be some good news on the horizon. Now, you know that the Family Foundation of Virginia does amazing work, right? I say we because I'm happy to be part of the Family Foundation of Virginia. We help guys to become better dads. It really is that simple. Wherever that dad is, it could be a brand new dad. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know that he's going to get whizzed in the face if he's got a boy or any of that stuff. It could be a guy who's got substance issues or is in a jail, is in a prison, whatever it is. We are there to help them wherever they are, to help them to become better dads. Period. End of story. Well, we do this big fundraising event. We call it the Father Figure, and get some of the greatest fathers throughout Central Virginia to raise money. And then we have this gigantic party of all parties on Saturday. It's going to be this Saturday at the Diamond. My dear friend, my brother, Chris Beach, is the executive director of the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. He's got a few details. Chris, thank you for being here, sir.
Well, after that talk, I'm glad that I get to lift some spirits up right now. So I'm very excited about talking about this event.
Well, I appreciate you being here. And yes, I need a little inspiration. I need a little spirit lifting. So tell me what's going on with the Father Figure this year.
Well, we had 9 dads this year that are absolutely knocking it out in the park. And I'm very, very excited to say that your title might be taken over this year.
Oh.
So, The $18,639 you raised a couple years ago is in jeopardy right now. So I am hopeful. We haven't got the final total numbers in, but I know that we already have 3 guys over $10,000 this year, and they're knocking on the door of taking over the title of the largest fundraiser for the Father Figure ever.
Oh, well, now, I don't know if people will understand it when I say, I am so happy to hear that, right? I mean, that's our goal every year. We go out, we raise the most money we can as one of the funding fathers, and then we turn to the next crew and go, go ahead, beat it. We want them to beat it.
We want them to, because I mean, right now our programs are growing so quickly, it's down in the Tidewater area. We're actually, the governor is launching an initiative for reentry for gentlemen reentering society. And we're going to be a big part of that because a lot of those men reentering society are fathers, and a majority of them didn't have dads in their life. So we're going to play a big role in helping those dads, giving them the skills they need to be stronger men, to be in better relationships with mom, and to be stronger fathers. So all that money that we're making from this, from our major event this Saturday, is going right back into helping dads right here in the state of Virginia.
How many kids right about now don't have dads? Do we have numbers on that?
Sadly, it's about 1 out of 4 in the United States, and in Virginia, we're looking at about 1 out of 3. Virginia has some of the highest fatherlessness rates in the United States, and sadly, in Central Virginia and Tidewater area, it's about 1 out of 3, but then it's crazy. You go up to Fairfax County, and they have the second lowest divorce rate in the United States. So in the same state, we have some of the highest fatherlessness rates, yet we have some of the lowest divorce rates in the United States. So we really need to work on those areas and just give men the skills they need to be part of their children's lives and to be in smart relationships with mom.
Yeah, well, and that's the key, isn't it? You've made a child. Now you got to really step up to the plate. There's some heavy lifting. There's some hard work. But boy, talk about rewarding. Talking about the right thing. You and I have talked about this so many times. Where you got guys who have got substance issues. They're incarcerated one way or another. And you know, you can't go and use a crystal ball backwards. But let's not kid ourselves. If they would have had a good father in place, they might not be where they are.
You're exactly right. And the thing is that when we've gone into these jails, when we've gone into these rehab centers, when we see dads right before they're about to have a child, I have never once heard a single man say, I want to be a bad dad. Some of them just did not have the skills or the role models they needed to be a good father. And a big misconception of our nonprofit is we're not trying to replace mom, because you can't replace mom. There's nothing you can do to replace mom, because mom is an integral part of everything in the child's life. But wouldn't it be great to have mom and dad working together, whether they're married, not married, not cohabitating, to be working together for the betterment of the child? We wouldn't need mentors. We wouldn't need a lot of the programs that we have right now. We're trying to give dads the skills to be active in the lives of their families.
That's exactly right. So here's what I want to do, because I want one of these great dads to break the record this year so that I can, you know, get back to important stuff. And I don't have to worry about it anymore. What? How do we donate? Is there a website that's good for all of them, or what?
It is. It is. You go to fatherfigureva.org, and okay. Everything's on there, from buying tickets, seeing all 9 of our dads. And I don't know if you knew this, Jeff, but we are a finalist for the top 3 community charity events in the greater Richmond area, according to Richmond Times-Dispatch. As you know, I saw that you're one of the top 3 best afternoon shows. We are one of the top 3 charity events in the area. So excited to be one of the top 3. And it's because of guys like you that are just getting the word out about what we're doing to make better fathers in our community.
Well, the hard work is being done on your end. I'm going to tell you that, and I know you're going to sort of shrug it off, but it is. So what about the event Saturday? Can I still get tickets? Can people still donate? What's the story?
All of the above. You can go get tickets, and we're going to have a phenomenal party. We're going to have caricatures. We're going to have photo booths. We're going to have KOS band playing. We're going to have ice cream and helmets. I know you like that part.
Yes,
we're
going
to have in-your-face fireworks. We're going to have games on the field. We're going to have hitting on the field. We're going to have fast pitch. It's basically a baseball game, but we have the entire field to ourselves. There's no game. It's just us. We take over the diamond, and it is a celebration of fathers like you've never seen.
All right, so how do we get the tickets?
Fatherfigureva.org. You'll see a video from last year to show what kind of party we're having. And right below it, it says purchase tickets here. Take it a little bit lower, and you'll see our 9 amazing dads. Check them out. If you find one that tickles your fancy, go ahead and click on donate and learn more about them and donate to their cause. But right now, we have a very, very tight race between 3 or 4 of the dads.
Excellent. All right, so I definitely want to come out for that. I did hear you right. There's ice cream. I just want to be confirm that, because I'm getting a text here from Jamal. There is ice cream.
Well, when it comes to ice cream, I know you and Jamal would get excited about that
part.
Right? Of course.
Yeah. I mean, if you're there and we're doing good work, that's cool too. But if there's ice cream involved, then yeah, we're absolutely positively going to be there.
Well, ice cream and helmets. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Exactly.
You know, ice cream and helmets and fireworks. That's a party for me.
I love it. And I think a lot of us who were funding fathers in the past, we're going to wear our jerseys, right? It's going to be a good old time.
I love seeing that's one of my favorite things, when dads come back from past years and they're all wearing their jerseys, and they're all Flying Squirrels jerseys that all say Funding Fathers on them. And
yep.
The Squirrels have been amazing partners with us over the years. So we just love celebrating not only the dads, but celebrating Richmond at the Diamond.
All right, one final time, my friend, give that website, because A, I want people to donate to these great men, and B, I want them to get tickets for the big event on Saturday at the Diamond.
Very simple, fatherfigureva.org, fatherfigureva.org, everything you need to know, one right there.
All right, fatherfigureva.org, fatherfigureva.org. Chris, you are a good man, and I am so anxious to see you this weekend at the Diamond.
All right, brother. I look forward to it.
Thank you, my friend. That is Chris Beach. He is a great, great guy. Let me tell you that. He's a great father. He's a great husband. And the work that he does with the Fatherhood Foundation is just off the charts. It is successful because of his hard work. So if you have not been to one of these events before, let me tell you, it is a great time. The Squirrels just step up to the plate every single year and help us out. There's all sorts of fun. Great opportunity to raise money. That's how we do these great programs out in the community. They cannot be done without the fundraising. And I know sometimes people get annoyed with that, but it is what it is. You know, we're doing great work, and it's not free, and it's not cheap. And so here's a chance, though, to get one of these new fathers up into the top fundraiser position so that I can retire my title, really, every year. Every year, those of us who won it the year before are thinking, yep, somebody else this year has to do it, because that's the right way to do it. 545, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 552, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday evening. It's a nice one, by the way. The humidity is not bad. I was walking outside. I got to take care of this miniature wasp's nest. But it's not a bad night. Go sit on the deck, enjoy a beverage or something. Note here. Do we call them tweets anymore since it's X? Pastor Don at Grace Baptist sends a message on X. He says, Jeff, so disappointed for you. I was looking forward to you being able to go to Israel next week. Yeah, I was as well, obviously. I absolutely was as well. If you're not with me on X, you can give that a follow. Jeff Katz Show on X. Jeff Katz Show on X. Still trying to recover from the great conservative Twitter purge of a couple of years back. Let me share this with you. It's a tiny little snippet from Tim Walz. He's the guy who wants to be vice president. He's the guy who has lied over and over and over and over and over again about his military record, which is shameful. It is absolutely, positively shameful. Part of the reason I find it so disgusting is that he has a legitimate military record that he could be very proud of. He should be very proud of. But he just flat out lied about stuff. And the legacy news media hacks who have such contempt for military operations in general, those who serve in particular, they're covering for him because, well, they don't care. It doesn't mean anything to them. They've never earned a title, so it doesn't mean anything. They've never earned a rank. They've never done the hard work necessary to get to a certain point. They've always seen themselves in this this star trajectory where somehow, some way, we make a big deal out of people who tell us what other people did. And they haven't earned a rank. They don't understand time and grade. They don't understand having to go and do things at hours that, well, quite frankly, you wish you were doing something else. But anyway, this is that Tim Walz, and this follows up on all of the British commentary we heard a few moments ago, right? The guy, the British cops saying, hey, we are looking for anybody retweeting or posting something on Facebook, and we'll come and get you in the United States of America. And I'm thinking, well, at least we have the First Amendment, right? Free speech covers us. Cut number five.
The offense of incitement to racial hatred
involves
publishing or distributing.
And finally, before you go, we commit to this race to kind of sticking to the facts. I mean, I heard Donald Trump give this speech in Montana he just gave, and he said that Tim Walz has signed a letter letting the state kidnap children.
All right. None of that is the case. All right. Never mind. Push it aside. I'm sorry. It was soggy salad, cut number five, but we're out of time. We'll do it. We'll do it tomorrow. Not to worry. All is good. I promise you, all is good. All right. I want you to have a fantastic evening because the weather's going to be fantastic tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Make sure you are listening to my friend John Reed. Have a great evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again Wednesday starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRB.